So, you talked to January 2016. It's one thing, you know, to call a bottom on oil at that time, but, you know, it's another to look at, like, to my mind, there was something of a global financial collapse happening at that time.
Yeah, well, look, you, and this is from If Memory Serves,
yeah,
but look at that day, or 2 days, look at 2 days of trading, January 20th and 21st last year. And I remember, and I hope my memory is correct, but, you know, I run that KCAST thing, scrolling across my computer, a minute-to-minute update of, I run 14 parameters or markets on that, metals, energy, U.S. markets, and a basket of currencies. And if memory serves, the morning of January 20th, they were all red.
Yeah.
So
yeah, significantly too.
Yeah,
and that's
been,
it had been steady down.
And so things that trade in almost perfect negative correlation, which would be number one, the dollar index and the euro, both those are red that day, and that doesn't happen very often, but that was the day.
And that's, so, and this is this thing, can you buy panic, you know, can you buy when everyone is selling? And it's, because, you know, the things have been going down, and then there was a time when it really flushed, and it really, really went down, and everything together, and that's, you know, that can be a great signal of something's, the way I say it, markets don't make bottoms on good news.
No, absolutely not. And so, if you recall, last January was the worst January in how many years on the S&P 500? And so there's this idea on Wall Street, and it usually works out, that if January's bad, it's going to be a bear market year.
Mm.
So I can't remember exactly, and I don't have my spreadsheet in front of me because I'm not in my office. But, you know, we compile this monthly data, and we've done it for 6 years. But the S&P 500 was down something like 4 to 5% in January of last year.
Yeah.
And what did it end up? It ended up the year plus 9.5%. So U.S. markets, Dow was up over 13%. S&P 500 about 9%. Can't really remember the NASDAQ, what its value was, but Russell 2000, the small cap index, was up 19.5% last year. 19.5%. And I'm pretty sure it was down for last January a year ago. If you really look at that data, why was it up 19%? Well, it was having a good year. It was up 13% since Trump was elected. So we can't discount the Trump effect right now. It's pretty amazing what the guy has done for the U.S. markets.
Come on.
Commodities.
Come on. You say that? Would you say that again? What he has done for the...
Absolutely. It's all the Trump effect. It's all about the Trump effect. Look at the data.
I know.
Since he was elected, it started on November 9th.
Correlation now, isn't causation.
I didn't say it was causation.
Okay, I just said it was.
I did. Pardon me. I did not imply causation.
My
there.
Mistake.
Due to the correlation coefficients.
Yep.
There is a Trump bump.
Yep.
That's still going on, rightly or wrongly.
Yeah.
I will not assess that situation too much, except I will assess the fact that he is a pro-business capitalist who has pledged to reduce corporate taxes in the U.S. He's a Wall Street guy, he's a real estate mogul, he's a businessman. We've never had a businessman in the White House.
Yeah.
And he has pledged to build out infrastructure in the U.S., which has absolutely been phenomenal for the prices of metals, that idea. Look at what China did post-global economic crisis.
Yeah.
This is my analogy.
Yep.
They didn't quantitatively ease, which means basically your treasury issues debt and your central bank buys it. It's a shell game.
They may have had their own little shell games going on, but yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, and so they and China's got lots of shell games. Right. Going on. They park offshore copper as collateral for debt.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But really, what China did in 2009 through 2013, before kind of eased up, they built out their infrastructure.
Yeah.
And that was the stimulus for the recovery of metals post-global economic crisis.
Yeah.
And they went as higher than they had ever been before.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen now? Well, the U.S. is not starting at essentially zero.
Yeah.
Because I brought this up in my talk the other day, in year 2000, the size of the Chinese economy was the same as Italy.
Oh,
Italy is a big economy, it's a G7 or yeah. G8,
yeah.
But it's pretty minuscule compared to the 800-pound gorilla on the block, which is the U.S.
Yeah.
But China has now the second largest economy in the world. Long way to get around this, but what is an infrastructure build out or remodel or reinvestment going to do in the United States? It's going to increase demand for industrial metals and energy metals and energy fluids. That will not be as big a demand as China had. But the U.S. is still the second largest consumer of all industrial commodities in the world.
Mm.
And it's, for the most part, the same size or bigger than entire Western Europe.
Yeah.
So that's good for our business. And that's part of the Trump effect.
Yeah. Right?
And that's probably, in my mind, the staying power of the Trump effect, assuming that he can find ways to take on more debt to build out this infrastructure.
Yeah.
And it's not too dissimilar. His economics from Reaganomics trickle down.
Yep.
And that leads to higher debt. But the U.S. is screwed to begin with. The world's screwed in terms of debt.
Yep.
It's going to collapse at some time. We just don't know when it's going to collapse. It's not predictable when this whole fiat currency scenario is going to collapse.